History isn't just a bunch of names and dates and facts. It's the collection of all the stories throughout human history that explain how and why we got here. Welcome to the History Unplugged podcast, where we look at the forgotten, neglected, strange, and even counterfactual stories that made our world what it is. I'm your host, Scott Rank. Welcome back to our series, Forging a President, looking at the years that Teddy Roosevelt spent in the Dakota Territories and how it arguably made him the man he was and the president he eventually was. In the previous episode, we looked at the first buffalo hunt he went on, where he nearly died, and the man that he hired to guide him thought that this dude out east, from out east, would give up in a day or two, but Roosevelt kept going and going and going, many times in terrible weather and with incredible boyish enthusiasm as he was getting into it. This episode, we're going to be looking at what makes Roosevelt decide he's going to become a farmer and when he decides to buy a herd of cattle. The story begins when he's talking with Gregor Lang, the Scotsman, the first pioneer that Roosevelt met when he was out in the territories, and somebody that he encountered frequently when he was on his buffalo hunt. One night when he was in the hunting cabin, he told Gregor his intentions, and he said, "I've decided definitely to invest, Mr. Lang. Will you take a herd of cattle from me to run on shares or under some other arrangement to be determined between us?" He was asking him to go into business with him. Well, Gregor Lang could hardly believe a man could just make a decision like this. In his world, men didn't just proclaim they wanted to start a cattle ranch and offer to make him partner. But he was already committed to another man for his investment in cattle. "I am more than sorry, Mr. Roosevelt," he said with regret. But Roosevelt decided he was going to do this thing one way or another. One can only guess at the changing tides of his mind. He'd become an assemblyman after studying for law, had lost its flavor, and he'd briefly considered the literary life, as he called it. Ranching was something he could do that would tie him permanently to the West. The truth was, Roosevelt, along with a Harvard classmate, had already put money into a ranch north of Cheyenne, the Teshmaker and DeBillion Cattle Company. The Badlands had been recently discovered as prime cattle country, resulting in a bit of a stock market frenzy to invest in the West. Add to this short-lived cowboy culture based on the frontier and driving cattle, with its emphasis on mobility, along with custom and survival of the fittest, there was an ideal realm for a young man craving adventure and the tonic of rude existence. Texas Rangers had started driving toward the Dakota Territories in 1883 when they found the cattle-loved northern range grasses and realized cattle could survive the blue winters. The cowboys followed, and now Roosevelt was one of those cowboys looking for his piece of the cattle empire. He adjusted his glasses and clapped his teeth together. "Then who would you recommend?" he asked Lang. Lang thought for a minute and stroked his beard. "About the best man I can recommend are Sylvain Ferris and Bill Merrifield. I know them quite well, and I believe them to be good square fellows who will do right by you if you give them a chance." Roosevelt nodded. "Done," he said. Young Lincoln saddled up and went to fetch the two Canadians to the cabin to meet their potential new boss. Roosevelt had come into his money recently and was building a house for his young bride, preparing for his future life. Remember, this was a year before she died. So why not add a ranch to that life? He and Joe headed out two more rainy days, and Ferris had by now taken a liking to the tough, skinny man with oversized glasses. On the evening of September 18th, Sylvain and Ferris were waiting for Roosevelt in the cabin when he came in from another unsuccessful hunt. They went outside to talk business. Roosevelt sat down on a log and asked how much it would take to stock a cattle ranch. "Depends on what you want to do, but my guess is, if you want to do it right, it'll spoil the looks of $40,000, Sylvain replied. Roosevelt pushed up his glasses. "Bully, how much would you need right off?" A third would make a start. Roosevelt nodded again. "Can you boys handle the cattle for me?" Sylvain and Merrifield exchanged glances, and then Sylvain nodded. "Oh yes, I guess we could take care of him, about as well as the next man." Merrifield then piped up. "Why, I guess so." Roosevelt nodded to the men. "Well, will you do it?" Sylvain then explained he and Merrifield were committed to another outfit with cattle on shares. Roosevelt brushed it aside. "I will buy those cattle." Merrifield and Sylvain looked at each other. "All right, then the best thing for us to do is go to Minnesota and get released from our contract," Merrifield replied. "Bully. How much do you need to get started?" Merrifield rubbed his chin. "About $14,000 should do her." Teddy Roosevelt then withdrew his checkbook from a leather pouch and wrote a check for $14,000. They were sitting on a log outside the cabin, and Merrifield took the check. $14,000 in today's money is over $200,000. Merrifield eyed Roosevelt. "Don't you want a receipt?" Roosevelt shook his head. "Oh, that's all right." People in 1883 didn't just casually write checks for $14,000 outside of cabins in the Badlands. Roosevelt had inherited $125,000 from his father, but he wasn't a good businessman and didn't really understand how to make money. He'd made dubious investments before, but it wasn't the prospect of a great investment that motivated Theodore Roosevelt to write a check to men he had just met for an enterprise he knew nothing about. It was buying a piece of the West that appealed to him. Already he knew there was something out in the rain-soaked Badlands that grabbed his spirit, something in the extremes of the lawless West he needed in order to make himself. And he had no idea what Providence had in store for him. He was simply possessed with creating a life in the West and not losing another day. Roosevelt would become a rancher. He would add that to the role of politician, a role he had recently adopted after deciding that being a lawyer was too boring. The men shook hands all around, and that was that. Lincoln Lang, writing about the event much later, gave his take on why Roosevelt plunked down a check on a life he knew nothing about. "Clearly, I recall his wild enthusiasm over the Badlands. It had taken roots in the congenial soil of his consciousness, like an eradicable, creeping plant, as it were, to thrive and permeate it thereafter, causing him more and more to think in the broad-gauge terms of nature of the real Earth." Maybe it was simply the freedom the West offered a young man, a place where you could go remake yourself and nobody told you how to live or what to do. "Go West, young man," as a motto seemed hackneyed, but it summed up an essential American value: the infinite ability to remake oneself. American literature, from The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn to The Great Gatsby, celebrates this ideal, and that's what the West offered, a chance to remake oneself, to become an entirely different person. You can only marvel at this type of freedom now. Modern man would have to go to the moon to find this type of blank slate on the desert, a place to rewrite one's life story. Roosevelt might have had a strange prescience that he would need an anchor in the future. Time would prove that an anchor alone would not suffice for the tragedy awaiting him. At any rate, it was time to find the buffalo. Roosevelt and Ferris set off again the next morning, this time heading toward Montana. They were looking for lonesome Georges, buffalo that had strayed from the herd because they were sick or couldn't keep up. Soon after they passed over the line, the horses began to snort toward a coulee. Roosevelt slipped off his horse, went up to the ravine, and looked over and saw a bison. "There below me, not 50 yards off," he wrote, "was a great bison bull. He was walking along, grazing as he walked. His glossy fall coat was in fine trim and shone in the rays of the sun, while his pride of bearing showed him to be in the lusty vigor of his prime. As I rose above the crest of the hill, he held up his head and cocked his tail in the air." Joe was right behind him and pointed to a yellow spot on the old buffalo. "Hit him there," he whispered, "and you'll get him through the heart." Roosevelt raised his Sharps rifle, and this time he was cool and deliberate. He had his ranch, and now he would get his buffalo. He squeezed the trigger and heard the report. "I put the bullet in behind his shoulder," he wrote. The buffalo didn't seem to care and bounded up the ravine with blood frothing his mouth and pumping from his nostrils.